And we would like to try to get the meeting started. I would like to call the special board meeting of the Board of Trustees for April 9th to order. We're going to do a roll call vote for attendance, so if you could please say here when I call your name. Mr. Davis. Mr. Boom. Mr. Allison. Mr. Fleury. Ms. Scott. Mr. Crawford. And Mr. Rasmussen. Mr. Crawford, can you please lead us in the pledge?
Please rise, face the flag, and follow after me, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Would you please?
Public comments. Persons wishing to address the board are requested to fill out a public comment card before the start of the meeting and give it to the secretary, board president, or the superintendent. The public may address topics not on the agenda during this section of the agenda or ask they be heard during the specific agenda item. Comments are limited to a maximum of 3 minutes per speaker, 20 minutes total time for public input on each item per Board Bylaw 9323. The Ralph M. Brown Act prevents the Board of Trustees from responding to these comments with the exception of clarifying questions. The California Government Code Section 54954.2.A states, no action or discussion shall be undertaken on any item not appearing on the posted agenda, except that members of a legislative body or its staff may briefly respond to statements made or questions posed by persons exercising their public testimony rights under Section 54954.3. We do have one public comment. If you would please state your name for the record when you come to the board or to the microphone, Mr. Cena. And Mr. Cena, you do have 3 minutes for your public comment time. At the end of 3 minutes, we will be turning off the microphone and asking you to sit down.
Okay. Thank you. My name's Gary Cena. Thank you, MJUSD board members, for this public opportunity to formally state my intent. As a lifetime Marysville resident, a product of MJUSD schools, Kynoch, McKinney, and Marysville High, a 30-year Marysville High School educator, 22 years as a site administrator, including 12 years as principal, and currently a university supervisor and clear administrative credential coach for student teachers and first-year administrators through Chico State University and the Sacramento County Office of Education, I intend to apply for the Marysville Joint Unified School District superintendent position in order to foster and facilitate systemic trust, transparency, and teamwork in order to grow self-directed school leaders and lifelong learners. Stephen Covey defines trust as, quote, confidence born out of the character and competence of a person or an organization, end of quote. In terms of character, when I transitioned from Marysville High School principalship, I publicly declared the purpose was so I could learn how to become more present in the moment, how I could become a better person, so I could come back later and better serve in some unknown capacity. Throughout the past 647 calendar days, every day, I've disciplined myself to develop both a formal and informal daily mindfulness practice in order to better serve others in every capacity. In terms of competence, my part-time work and training with Chico State and SCOE has sharpened my ability to recruit, hire, and coach effective teachers and school leaders. Trust, derived from character and competence, allows a superintendent to effectively communicate, build quality relationships, and demonstrate transparency with all stakeholders by making them feel aware, respected, and appreciated. My ultimate purpose in applying for a superintendent is to foster and facilitate teamwork involving stakeholders in decision-making. Over recent weeks, numerous School leaders and personnel have earnestly encouraged me to apply for this position because their experience tells them they will be respected and empowered in decision making. They are confident that although we may not agree on the eventual outcome, I will have collaborated with stakeholders, explored every option, deliberated, and made a decision based on what is the right thing to do for the right reasons for the good of students. Trust, transparency, and teamwork is how, as superintendent, I intend to build bridges with all stakeholders. Thank you for this opportunity to state my intent, and I look forward to learning about the board's plan for the superintendent's search. Thank you.
Thank you. One thing before the board members leave today, make sure you please see Lisa. There's a couple of documents that she needs to have you take a look at. So I'm going to try to remind us to do that now and hopefully at the end of the board meeting also. So one of the things I'd like to do is I would like to thank the other board members for being able to change their schedule and being able to attend our special board meeting tonight to further our process with regards to the superintendent search. I typed up a couple of notes kind of with regards to a timeline that I would kind of like to read through quickly to help set the stage from where we started to where we're at right now. And so, first of all, in keeping with the, I'm going to go ahead and just read it so it'll be quicker and it'll be easier for us to get through. In keeping with the spirit of transparency in the superintendent process search, I would like to recap kind of from the start to where we are right now. The March 12th board meeting, the board had a discussion regarding three superintendent search methods that were presented by Mr. Carrion to us. One was an appointment process, one was a limited search process, and one was a state or national search process. That night, the board voted 6-1 in favor of a limited search. March 14th, I received an email from Mr. Carrion that he had made contact with Mr. Teagarden to see if Mr. Teagarden would be interested in helping with our search, and he asked me to contact Mr. Teagarden. I asked Mr. Carrion to survey the board members to see if there are any other local people that board members are aware of that may be interested in helping with the superintendent search. Mr. Carrion sent an email to the board members requesting if they had other people in mind that would maybe want to help with our search to have the names submitted back to him by March 18th. There was no replies back by March 18th. March 17th. I emailed Mr. Carrion asking him to discuss with our legal staff that the explanation he gave to the board regarding the requirements of candidates to be eligible through an appointment process was accurate that he gave us on the March 12th board meeting. On March 18th, the board received an email from Mr. Carrion that broadened the scope of the potential candidates through an appointment process. I sent an email to Dr. Starkey to survey the board members to see, in light of the new information regarding this appointment process, if they would like to reconsider the already approved superintendent process of a limited search. I composed a letter to the board members, reviewed by Dr. Starkey and Attorney Paul Gant. The letter was emailed to the board members on March 20th. Mr. Gant advised the board could agendize the closed session item, public employee appointment, Government Code Section 54957, title Superintendent, for the March 26th regular meeting. The March 26th board meeting, the board met to discuss employee appointment, parentheses, Government Code Section 54957, closed parentheses, title Superintendent. At that meeting, there was no change from the March 12th board meeting decision to stay with a limited search method for the superintendent selection process. I took the direction from the March 14 email from Mr. Carrion to contact Mr. Teagarden. Mr. Teagarden and myself met on April 1st. to discuss his willingness to help with the superintendent's search. He was interested in helping. So that brings us tonight to our agenda item, the superintendent search process. The board will deliberate regarding the superintendent search process in consultation with Rick Teagarden, retired superintendent for the Yuba County Office of Education. The board will direct initial steps in the recruitment process consistent with Board Policy 2120. So, at the end of Mr. Teagarden's presentation today, if the board wishes to move forward with Mr. Teagarden helping us with this process, then there will need to be a motion made that we're going to move forward with Mr. Teagarden. So, is there any comments or question? Does that seem kind of like the timeline that most all you felt with that we were at?
I have some questions on that timeline,
sure.
Mr. Chairman. And I would agree with you. There's been some confusion since you requested the attorney to present at one of our meetings the ideas we had in mind for finding a replacement for Dr. Starkey. And I think there was some confusion, at least on my part. When I talked to him at the end of the meeting, I was under the assumption he was going to go ahead and start a in-house search, a limited in-house search with four or five candidates that had been mentioned, and they would contact him. And then, as I wasn't sure of the timeline and all the emails you mentioned after that. I do not wish any ill will on anyone in any search. All I can reflect on is in the past when we have opened up positions like this, and not just superintendents, but whenever we went on a statewide and at a couple times even a nationwide search, especially, and I'm not going to give names, and two superintendents, I'm almost sure they were the two worst picks we ever had. And I began thinking this week, when was the last time we actually went statewide? And I was an intricate part of that. In fact, I was on the final three review boards. And it was the assistant superintendent's position for business services. An excellent candidate on paper. You'll always hear that term. USC graduate, a law degree graduate. Loved the guy in the interview, heads and tails above everybody else. Sadly, though, one thing we probably should have asked and didn't ask, and a lot of people don't realize until they get to our wonderful community, it might not be the place they want to be. This individual didn't, although his work product was always of the highest caliber. He, in a two-year period, resigned and was rehired not once, not twice, but three times. And now we're faced with another dilemma. We have a time frame. We're going to have to replace business services. From what I understand, once again, that'll be another new thing for the new superintendent when him or her come aboard. And my only concern was, I have heard from many, many of the people that have elected me to do stuff like this, that, hey, we got a lot of good people in-house in the area that have spent many years working in this community and with this staff and are really well liked, and to reach out to them first, and I thought that would expedite the process. I was under the impression after meeting with the attorney and spending the money for that, that's what we were going to do, but then that got sort of clouded. I certainly meant no ill feeling towards Mr. Teagarden. I've known him for many, many years. I was in contact with one superintendent who actually does this very same thing for a living, Mr. Peter Pillsbury. He called me 2 days after he heard about, for full disclosure, he heard about the retirement of Dr. Starkey. And he said, Frank, in all honesty, I'd usually put my hat in the ring. You know, I'd be honest with you, I've looked for other school districts and, you know, spent as much as $15,000 looking for candidates. But he said in this particular case, he thinks there were some great people in-house, like he was himself, and that we should, in his humble opinion, we should actually look in-house first. That's why I suggested that a month ago, and now we are in, under a time frame that could really, really be burdensome if we start, bringing in all, everybody's going to have a different opinion, a different feeling about so many people, community members, and I respect them. I talk to them all the time. I've got many calls from teachers. I didn't think it would, I was hoping to expedite that a little faster. I'll turn it over to you now, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford, for your input. So next on our agenda is to have Mr. Teagarden come to give us a presentation with regard how he can help move us forward with our search. Mr. Teagarden.
Well, thank you, trustees. I know how it feels to sit there. I'm the president for the Yuba College Board of Trustees, and that's a 60-hour a month plus job, and I appreciate the work that you do. Looking in this around this room, the way this. When I graduated from Marysville High School in the 60s, this was the typing room, and before that, it was the library. And so it was a pretty special time. And then had the opportunity to go around the room and read every one of the pictures and all the names of people that served there. And back into the 60s, I think I know just about every single person. Looking at the people that served as president for the Board of Trustees back into the 60s, I knew every one of them personally except for two. I don't know who Mr. Thompson is, but I have a long time history with Marysville Unified School District. I graduated here, both of my daughters graduated, and I had the pleasure of serving as a teacher and an administrator in this district for quite a few years. And prior to that, I delivered mail for the district. And prior to that, I was a school bus driver for the district. So my heart is really pretty, pretty well connected to the Marysville Unified School District. And as you know, I am retired. I'm not looking for a job or anything like that. I was contacted a couple of times to see if I'd be interested in helping the board as you go through the process. And I said, I think so. I don't have all the same contacts I had when I did searches before. Every superintendent that served during my time as the county superintendent of schools for 17 years, I either led the search for all of them or was a consultant on one of them. For when Todd Starkey was hired, I was one of the advisors with the consultant that you hired, and I had recommended that you hire her to the Board of Trustees at that point in time. So I am a long-time, well-connected person to the district. I sent Mr. Rasmussen a letter saying, you probably should start with some kind of a special board meeting where you have some conversation. If it's really that you would like for me to get involved in this, there's some conversations you have and some questions. And so you may have a copy of that letter, and it had several items, about a dozen items listed on it. And that was prior to me doing any looking into the process that you wanted to follow, and prior to a call from your attorney, Mr. Gantz, letting me know what your desires were. Well, at that point, I decided I better look at the board policies to see what your policies are as far as the process you're going to go through in selecting your new superintendent. And that was very, very helpful, because many of the questions that are required on hiring a superintendent for the board are already answered either on your web page or in policy itself, such as goals, values, mission, direction, those kinds of things. And so when we get to that point, I'd like to just ask you to maybe reconfirm that those are the accurate mission, goals, and direction that you want to go, because that's an important part in it that you decide in your first part of your search. The search that you go, that you're a part of, that you lead, and you have full control over, according to your own board policies, over every part of it. And the screening of the applicants and the interviews of the applicants would all be in closed session with the full board. And so it is a huge responsibility. It's probably the most important decision that you'll make during your entire term as a trustee on this on the board. As a trustee, you have one real employee in the district, and that's your superintendent. And that's the person that you hold accountable for the direction and the policies and the success of the district. You don't get to go out and tell principals or teachers or bus drivers what to do and how to do it, but you do get to tell your superintendent through setting goals and the evaluation process of how you want where you want the district to go, and to be able to measure it to see if you're getting there either in a satisfactory way or in an unsatisfactory way. And if it's unsatisfactory, then you have some responsibilities to maybe make those corrections. Rather than me just talk the whole time, I have some of these lists here. Though since I made the letter to Mr. Rasmussen, I started thinking of questions that I really should ask the board before I start on a process of helping you in the selection process. So I have another pages that you haven't seen yet of about 20 questions that I think that would be really helpful if the board were to consider them prior to making any selection of the person that you're going to have in helping you in the selection process. I'm not a professional searcher, though I have done six different searches, and every one of them have ended in a successfully. I don't consider myself a professional searcher. I'm not a person that is looking for a job or anything like that, but I have a deep felt love for our district and for our community and for our county, and I really want to see the right person selected for my grandchildren and my family and my neighbors and for yours. The type of search you do is a limited search, is what I'm understanding from Mr. Gantz and also from talking to Mr. Rasmussen as he read the document. I understand that it's a limited search within the district and within the surrounding communities. And the reason for that is that you want someone that's committed to their school district, committed to it, that's connected here, as Mr. Crawford said, someone that has a reason and wants to be here in this, in our community, and is the kind of person that will give their all in leading the district and serving our children and our community, and be a good partner through in the entire community. So some of the questions that I have is the level of engagement and the level of involvement that the board wants to be involved in the process. You know, the searches that I've done in the past have been as county superintendent of schools, and it's a little different process than what your board policies describe. The board did in those processes didn't have as nearly as much of an opportunity to be engaged as I'm understanding your policy is asking, giving you the authority to do so. Things like you can use this as an opportunity to become more connected to your staff, to your administrators, to your unions, to the community, to your elected officials in the community, and to let them be more engaged in the whole process of selection. But there's a limit of how much involvement that they can have, because all the responsibility of the final vote is on you. And if you go too far in that process, then what happens is they become pretty critical and pretty upset if you don't select the right person in their opinion. And you may have five or six different candidates that are finalists for you to do your final interviews with, and different segments of the community might have different candidates they like, so it's kind of pits the community against each other. So that's why I'm saying you should probably think about how engaged you want to be. From my perspective, you want to get feedback from as many different people as you can, either through survey or through community meetings. And in my mind, I was thinking, well, what would be my advice to the Board of Trustees on how you do that? Well, you have the different trustee areas, and you have schools all through your service area. And by conducting an information evening in three to four or five different areas of the community where that a trustee and your consultant or your would be with you, where you give people an opportunity to speak up, to say what they'd like to see, what kind of character traits, what kind of attributes they want their superintendent, their leader to have, and you begin to compile those lists of those attributes. If they probably won't be a surprise to anybody, because we all want the same kind of people. And in your board policy, it already describes the qualities you're looking for in a superintendent. And So it won't be a surprise, but it'll give you an opportunity to reaffirm those, and it'll be the community to have the opportunity to know that that is exactly what you're looking for also. And so when you go through the screening and the interview process, hopefully they'll have more confidence that you're making the right choice and moving in the right direction. Another thing that I think the trustees should really think about is the timeline for this. When do you want the person on board? In order to develop a calendar of events of when you're going to interview, when you're going to post, when you're going to select applications, when you're going to close applications, you need to kind of start with the end in mind. By what point in time do you really want the person to come on board? I would say the longer that you wait, this time of the year is a perfect time to advertise and to begin to hire a person. But if you end up having multiple candidates, and the longer that you go into the season, the hiring season, the more likely that your really good candidates might even select the positions in another district or somewhere else, because they may want to apply in more than one district. And if you, I'm a life member for Association of California School Administrators, so I get their paper, and you can look, it's full of positions for superintendents right now. Not as many as there's going to be in another 30 days or so, but there's 20 or so openings right now, and some of them are pretty close to the Marysville Unified School District attendance area. So some of them may not have to go too far for a position like you're offering. But the calendar event is a really important part. And that calendar event would have all of the different, we would document all the different things that we have to do in order to get them get you to the screening process and the closed session interview. As your advisor or your helper in this, I'd like to be included in those processes so that I can offer an opinion to you if you choose to have it, and you have the authority to invite me in that process as well, and I would assume that I would be included in that process. Once you make a decision, then you come out publicly and you have to announce it to the public. And when you do that, then you want to have some kind of a social event to introduce your candidate, your new superintendent, to the community as a celebration. And my desire would be you'd have all seven board members in complete unity in the selection process. A superintendent does not like to start a position in a district with a split vote on the Board of Trustees. So I would say you need to keep talking and looking and interviewing until you get to the point that you have a consensus, so that superintendent comes under with a feeling of full power, full authority, full support of the Board of Trustees. Because nothing is more difficult for a new superintendent to come in and for the staff and the community to feel like, well, some of us don't feel like we got the right person. And so I would just encourage you, if I'm involved in this, that I would just, part of my counsel would be, keep talking, keep asking questions, keep the interview process going until you have a consensus on the person that you want to select. And by doing that, not only will the superintendent have confidence in you, but the community will have more confidence in your leadership as well. When you get to the end of this process, what happens if you get to June, middle of June or something, and you don't have a superintendent, then what? Then what do you do? If you haven't selected a person, or the person that you really want actually ends up not accepting the position for whatever reason, now what do you do? Now you're in somewhat of a crisis mode, and school's going to be starting before too long, and you're going to need somebody to be providing the leadership. And at that point, you may have to go to a state and nationwide type search in order to attract candidates back into the position. So if you get to the end of this process and you're not able to make a suggestion, you're probably going to have to appoint an interim superintendent for your district in order to prepare for the next school year and to move forward and give yourself the time that you need in order to do the advertising and the interviewing and selection of a new process. I would just encourage you that you don't want to get to that point, but if you do, that would be my recommendation at that point. I'll stop at this point before I go. If there's any comments or questions or statements anyone would like to make, I'd enjoy hearing them before I propose some questions to you. Or if you want me to sit down, just say, thank you, Rick, and I'll be happy to go home and feed my horses. Anyway, why would you have any confidence in someone wearing blue jeans and cowboy boots every day since they retired?
Mr. Teagarden, I would agree with you 100% on everything you said. I would question if we could ever get seven people 100% behind anybody. Since this position was announced, I've had numerous phone calls from councilmen to parents in the foothills, to parents in Oliverhurst. Nobody has picked the same two people. So for us to, as a whole, say, wow, I really like Larry Schwartz 100%, that'll be interesting, and that would be ideal in the real world, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I agree it's a difficult task, but I'll say on the six superintendent searches that I've led in the past, we've had complete consensus on every one of the positions, and when I retired, they were all still there, and no one has been terminated until they, not terminated, they just retired, and then the new appointment. So, and every one that I've been involved in, we've been able to get to a 100% complete consensus, either 5 or 7-0 votes on the person selected. Oh, yeah. So
I realize it's
difficult, but I think it's such an important part of bringing in a new superintendent, in my perspective.
Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Teagarden, the bullet points that you put out in your letter, there's three of them that I'm particularly interested in. Are those going to be covered, most of those, within the questions that you're going to ask?
Which ones are you thinking of?
The opportunity for board members to engage with district employees and community leaders, trustee authority of the Brown Act and ethics, and community appointments and full board public interviews.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments?
I would just ask to Mr. Teagarden, with where we're at today, if the board does move forward with our process, I mean, we're only talking, this is, essentially we have May and June, a 2-month timeline.
Right.
Is that pretty feasible to be able to, I guess we're gonna have to work extra hard, but to get somebody in line?
I think so. It's about 100 hours of work. As I estimate, it's about 100 hours of work on my part, and close to that on your part, in order to get to that point. But so I think it is feasible, and that's why you start with the end in mind, you develop a calendar, and you've got to stick to that calendar. And so when we need special board meetings and community events, depending on how many you want to have as a board of trustees, so the answer is yes, I think it's possible, but it is a tight timeline.
Thank you.
Other comments before we? No? Okay, well then, I probably should have printed copies of the things the questions that went in my mind just sitting at home at my computer and just trying to put things down on paper of questions that I think probably I would appreciate if you consider, and even if you have answers for them, maybe not now, but if you, I'll give this my list here to Mr. Rasmussen, and if he wants to distribute it or something, then that might be helpful. At some point along the way, I would like for you to affirm that you want me to help you with the search. I need to affirm that there's parts of this that are confidential and should not be shared outside of the Board of Trustees or those people that you empower to be a part of this search process. And that confidentiality is part of the ethics part of that I'm thinking is important. There is a Brown Act that covers what we do, and we need to follow the Brown Act to make sure that we don't violate it. The penalty for the Brown Act, it's a do-over. And so you get down the road there, and we violate those kind of things. If the Fair Political Practice Commission decides to enforce something, they can say, King's X, do-over, start over. And you don't want to get to that point. Plus, rumors happen everywhere, and so I'd like to be appointed as your, if I'm used in this process, as your chief rumor control officer. And then I understand and appreciate that the board has 100% control in this process, both in the screening and in the selection process. But I also want to know of the level of value of a recommendation that I might make to you. You know, and that you can only do that depending on how involved that you want to be in the screening process and maybe the community visits and those kinds of things. I intend to be a part of all of those things, so that I can offer my perspective. Where the community meetings that we might have, or meetings with staff, and the way we gather information, all of you wouldn't be involved in all of those. You would just have different people involved in different places. So you would have to kind of, in my perspective, you'd have to trust that I would condense and consolidate that information so we can come up with a consensus on what we're looking for. There will be special board meetings required, and probably three at least, plus the screening and the interviews. And so a commitment that you will attend the special board meetings that have to be scheduled along the way. We will have a calendar of events and a timeline that will develop, and once, if you ask me to assist in this process, that's what I would begin working on, but I need a little more information on when you want the person to be on board and hired, and I'm assuming no later than maybe the first or second week of June, you would like to have someone at least identified so that they can make arrangements to be here and you have the confidence that you're ready to move forward. Also, the search will be local search, both inside the district and surrounding counties. What does that actually mean? Does that mean Nevada County, Sutter County, Butte County, Placer County, and Yuba County? Or is that you're just talking about the immediate area, those within the Yuba-Sutter area? When we start to advertise and announce the position, that becomes kind of an important issue. The word will get out to other places. The education community in the state of California is pretty small. And so what happens if we get candidates that apply from San Diego or LA or New York City? I'm assuming that we are. We're just gonna send them a nice letter of thank you for your interest, but at this point the board has made a decision to do a local search within the Yuba County and the surrounding adjacent counties. So if you could reaffirm that. I did review board policy 2120 on the superintendent's recruitment and selection process. And if you haven't had a chance to review that, I have a copy of it here with me actually, but if you haven't had a chance to review that, please do so. It is very well written and gives some excellent guidelines on how the process that you're going to go through, both on where you have flexibility and where you do not. But that policy is what's adopted at this point in time. Randy?
So Mr. Teagarden, I would say in our weekly memos of last week, that was the board policy 2120 was included in the board packet.
Oh, very good.
So all the board members do have a copy of that.
Very good. On your web page and in your policies, you have your mission, your values, and your long-term goals, and they're posted. And I would just encourage you to reaffirm that those are really accurate for what you're looking for to be continued. Not that you need to go any through process right now changing them all, but just that you've reaffirmed them. So when we go out into the community and we have a meeting at Rob Greger's Ella School or wherever, and for a community meeting, that we're able to speak with confidence that we do have unity on the mission, goals, and direction in the value system of the district. The qualities desired in the superintendent of schools are also listed in one of your documents there. And part of what we would do is in the community meetings and talking to the staffs and teachers and different elected officials in the community is give them an opportunity to list those kinds of quality traits that they're looking for in people they're going to serve with also. They probably won't be any different than what you've already identified, but it would be a really excellent opportunity to build consensus and to get broader support from the supervisors, city council, union leaders, your staffs, your principals, and different folks as you get that opportunity. Paul Gantz called me on the telephone. I had forgotten that we had met many, many years ago. Kingsley was really who I mostly worked with, but he works for the same firm. Paul Gantz, and he asked me about, I asked him one question after we talked about the policy. is negotiating the contract with your new superintendent. And he said, oh, with the board, what would like for him, for Paul Gantz to negotiate that contract, he has one. I said, okay, that would be good, but I just need the board to confirm that I don't have to be involved in the responsibility of negotiating a contract and writing those contracts for you, that you're going to use your own attorney to get to that point. And at that point, Paul Gantz, or whomever you select, would need to be involved in the session, because the superintendents you hire will probably have some ideas and ideals of what they'd like to see in their contract, the duration, the compensation, the benefits, the authority, the support, those kinds of things. I'm assuming the superintendent will be an Association of California School Administrators member, and by doing that, they have access to some boilerplate kinds of contracts, and they range the full gamut. So you do need to be prepared to have that discussion. That'll all start with setting salary and benefits as a basic range or something. On all of the positions for superintendent in the EdCal, none of the salaries are listed for the superintendent. They are all listed as negotiable. But you still need to have a range in mind of what you're willing to offer in the person that comes in, because it will make a difference. And they'll want to know that before they go through the process of filling out the application, the resume, the five letters of support and things that your policy calls for, and the criminal background check and those kinds of things. So I would like for you to consider the salary range and the benefits as a basic thing that we won't post it in the brochure that we develop unless you want it posted, but we would probably just put the range so that you have an opportunity to have some negotiation with the salaries and things that you intend to offer. I listed a couple of things of the things we'd have to go through as being confidential. One of those is the reference checks. Mostly when superintendents apply for a position, if they already are still currently employed at a district, they don't want you to contact them unless they are really considered a finalist, because they don't want to alienate their board or make their current board to think that they're on their way out. So that some of that has to stay confidential when you're doing the screening process, and you don't do that level of reference checks until you get to the final part of the interview, and then they will have to give you authority in order to do that level of reference checks. There's also a criminal background check that your board, your policy calls for, and we'll ask them to sign off on a criminal background check, and we would have to go through a process of getting some help with a criminal background check. The next thing I would mention to you has to do with the level of staff and employee input in the process. I've talked about, you know, having some community meetings where you bring people in. How involved do you want, how much opportunity do you want your sites, your teachers, your bus drivers, custodians, secretarial group, district office staff, how much input do you want them to have? How much engaged in this process do you want them to be? You want them to feel welcome, in my opinion, to participate, but they need to know up front that they are offering information that the board is going to take under advisement and try to include those things into their selection process. The same thing goes true with the different unions that you have, union leadership and your employees. They'll want to be involved in some level, and I would say give them the opportunity to have some way to feel like they're included in the process so that they can be supportive when you move forward with it. Same thing is true with students. Student input, particularly at the middle school or high school level, it's nice if they can have some way of being engaged in this process. One of the ways that I've used in the past of allowing, so nobody can feel like they're totally alienated in this process, is to use a thing called SurveyMonkey. That's a process that you can use for free. You can put 10 questions up that the community, students, staff, you can all access and answer those questions so that you have try to shift the responsibility to other people for being involved, and they can't be saying, well, you didn't give me an opportunity. Well, by broadcasting that you have a document, an opportunity, something like SurveyMonkey, you have just shifted the responsibility for everybody to be involved in it. And then when you write a summary of the information that you get from that, hopefully they'll feel like they've been engaged and they've been empowered to be a part of this. Am I out of time?
No.
Okay.
You don't have any time limit, Rick.
Okay. As I mentioned to Mr. Carrion and also Mr. Rasmussen when they contacted me, I'd like to help and be a part of this, but I don't have the same level of support and contacts in secretarial and administrative support that I had when I was working as a full-time employee. So if you select me and ask me to help you in this process, I'm going to need you to give me some authority and also some support, either confidential administrative assistant or secretarial support that can assist on the things that we do, so that we have a keeper of the record, someone, because all the information, everything is going to come in. And when it comes in, applications, you have a checkoff sheet. They have their five letters of reference, their resume, all those kind of things. And all that stuff is kept confidential. And then we respond to the people just so that they know that we've received the item, it's complete or incomplete, and that they'll receive some follow-up information if they're selected for the next to move forward in that process. And if they're not, we'll also send information back to them saying, well, thank you for your application, but at this point we haven't decided to invite you for an interview. So administrative or secretarial support that the district, someone that works in the district, someone in the most likely place for that to happen is either in the superintendent's office or the personnel director's office. And the only reason you wouldn't do it in the personnel director's office is if Mr. Carrion decided he was interested in moving forward in this position, that would be somewhat of a conflict for some of the confidentiality that you'd like to have at that point. But it doesn't mean someone in that office couldn't be of assistance, but it would just, you wouldn't want to assign your assistant superintendent personnel in that role if they were also a candidate for it. If they are not a candidate, that's a different story, and that would be absolutely the right person. Doing the job announcement, I looked at the job announcement that was created when Dr. Todd was selected. And it's very comprehensive, in fact, a little bit too comprehensive, in my opinion. I would limit the wording and limit it to the things that you're looking for and not have quite so much narrative in it. And the reason for not so much narrative is you're looking for people that already know about the district, that already have some connection here in the community. And when we start going through the process, they'll have an opportunity to do some more research, to ask some more questions. And if you simplify it, where you're just giving the information about the district, the values, the goals, the qualities, the process, a little bit of just information about the district as far as the size of the district, the number of schools, employees, some of those kinds of statistics, I think is enough information to start the process and to begin getting the applications starting to come in. So, with the support of an administrative assistant or secretarial staff, we would produce that document, print it here in the district print shop, I'm assuming, and then distribute it to the Yuba County and the surrounding counties for people to be considering to look into the applications to get involved in that process from the paper applications, and not do the state, national kinds of advertisement that you would normally do. We could advertise in the local paper, the local radio station, and the Dispatch and the Peel Democrat, and a couple of others that are out there that might reach out to surrounding communities as well. But the administrative authority to authorize expenditures incurred in the process. I don't see this as a really expensive process, because of the way that you're doing it, and the board, you're not reaching out across, you're not going to be flying down to LA to visit sites, those kind of things. You may be going to your own district, or you may be going to a surrounding district or surrounding area, but it's not going to cost take the board and flying to LA to visit those kind of sites. But I would expect you to make yourself available to visit those workplaces of the person that is a finalist for the position. Once the board is in the final stages of making a decision, probably before it's announced as a final decision, in the past I've always set up a dinner with the trustees and the candidate that's being considered and their spouse, just for that's almost like a closed session board meeting, that you have a chance to have a meal together, you have some conversation. They have a chance to get to know each board member as well. That's when they're going to interview you, to find out if you really are the kind of a board of trustees that they want to work for and to work with and to be a partner in. And that becomes a really important part of the process. But you would host a dinner. In the past, I've done all my dinners at the Brick. They close the doors for us at night. They set up the tables in the center of the room, and we have, 15 to 20 people around the table. We have, he fixed some spaghetti or something like that, some kind of a meal, and we have a couple of hours for dinner, and you have an informal. At the end of that meeting, that's when your board will, at some point, will make a final selection and be able to announce it to the public. There's a part in there where Mr. Gantz and this candidate and maybe the members of the board are going to have to negotiate a contract prior to you announcing your selection, because if you announce your selection and your contract, you don't come to an agreement with a contract, it is somewhat embarrassing for the board, and you've gone through a long ways, and you have to go to your second or your third choice possibly at that point in time. Let's see. Mr. Gantz sent me I'm not a professional consultant, and I don't need $15,000 or $20,000 or $10,000, something like that, but I do need to have the expenses covered. I need to have some support, and I thought, well, about 100 hours of work, about $2,500 would be something that would offset some of the things that I'm not going to be able to do while I'm doing this process for you. So, but money isn't an important issue to me. So if it is, I'm retired and I'm not in need of that. But I thought, I should charge something. All the other searches that I've done, I didn't charge any of the school districts anything because I was already employed as a county supervisor, a superintendent of schools. But I thought, well, it wouldn't be appropriate. And so Mr. Gantz, in my email today, he sent me a contract from the Board of Trustees to fill in the numbers or something. And I don't like the idea about being called a professional consultant, a professional search person, because that's not what I am. I'm a retired county superintendent of schools that wants to help our community. So that's all the questions that I had on my list. I probably come up with some more before I go to sleep tonight, but that's what I've been thinking about over the last couple of weeks since Mr. Rasmussen and I met.
So, Mr. Teagarden, I heard one thing I just kind of wanted to go over again. It kind of goes back to part of Mr. Crawford's concern about keeping it local. And it seems though I heard you say, even in maybe the job posting, we're going to say it needs to be local. I don't know how you refine that down, but then in whatever our rubric is when applications come in to see if they're going to move forward in the process, if they're not a local application, then they just wouldn't meet that criteria. And I thought I heard you say we would send them a letter, thank you very much, but...
Yeah, or put them on a secondary list in case you get to the end of the process and you need to do something else. But yes, and so describing local to me is an important thing. Is it local just being within the Marysville Unified School District attendance boundaries, the county of Yuba or Yuba-Sutter counties, or is it, yeah. Is it go beyond that area?
Right. So I think, right.
As far as I'm concerned, local, I mean, local is going to be somebody that I think is really concerned about our community and the education of our students. And, I mean, we have so many people that have gone through, you know, schools in the area and have moved away. Maybe we should also be able to consider somebody that, say, hey, does live on the other side of the country but wants to come back to their roots. You know, so I don't think we should necessarily exclude everybody just because of their zip code.
So maybe they've been local at one point in time.
Yeah. And, Mr. Teagarden, I just want you to know, I think that your time doing this would be invaluable, and there could be, you know, your work is going to be priceless if you give us a good superintendent.
Well, you're kind. Thank you.
I probably should clarify what I meant by local initially, and I still feel this way. And when I talked to Mr. Gant, I wanted to, the term I'm used to, it's probably a new term, there's new terms every week, it's in-house. And that means people that have either worked for the company or the district or have. And that's what I meant initially. That was my feelings. Let's weed out who we have, four or five principals currently, past principals, employees at any level that reach all the other criteria. I wanted to give them the opportunity, the in-house people, and I expressed that to our attorney. Obviously, I was confused on that outcome, but that's what I meant by local, in-house. And I don't know if that needs any further explanation. Just someone, and you mentioned that too, they might have moved to Australia, but they had worked for, they. Mm-hmm. What I have found are the people that we've reached out for that have never been here, and I mentioned the business services from 3 years ago, when he did get here, his wife couldn't stand the place. Mm-hmm. I love the community, but she didn't love the community. He left, came back, left, came back. The new superintendent, if we're lucky enough to get aboard June 3rd, we're starting graduations then, we're still going to need to fill an assistant superintendent's position. That's really overwhelming. And that's what I meant, in service or in house. And that's just by definition, Mr.
Sure.
Teagarden.
I understand.
So it still seems to me that the process we're looking at would satisfy your requirements, Mr. Crawford.
Yeah.
But my interest is that you also operate in the board on a consensus. When you disagree on things, but when you make a decision, it's with unity, and everyone supports that decision after the decision's made. You know how to disagree without personalizing it, and you end up with one voice, and that spokesperson for the Board of Trustees, one person should do that, and I would assume that it would be your board president would be the spokesperson for public relations, for those kinds of announcements, in addition to what I might be able to do in order to help facilitate the process.
Okay, so Mr. Teagarden, Mr. Rasmussen, I believe that our next step would be this is an action item, to take action so that Mr. Teagarden knows whether we're going to move forward or not with this process. And then Mr. Teagarden, once we take that action, if we do decide to move forward, at what point do these start becoming closed session discussions, the questions that you've proposed to us today?
I think it would be pretty quick within the next, you know, you still have to have the 72-hour posting and those kinds of things for the Brown Act, but and for the community posting and things. But developing a calendar of events would be a really important step to take. And then having, for you to identify who would be the level, who would offer the support to me, would it be through Dr. Starkey's office or through Mr. Carrion's office or someone would be of assistance in the process, because they would have to help me in having them schedule with the board the closed session meetings and those kinds of things. So I'm thinking within, if you decide to move forward with this, I've already started on my computer a calendar of events, only it doesn't go, I have lines all the way to the hiring process. I don't have a date by it, But I stopped putting things in up to this, to today's meeting is the only thing I've got listed on there from that point on, because the board needs to need to make some decisions of how engaged you want to be. And if you decide to move forward with these things now, I will seriously get serious about developing the calendar for you, and starting to do some of the first draft on the brochure that we use to advertise. I would expect you to close session to not only approve the calendar, but also approve the brochure. I expect you to give me some information about the guidelines on the compensation that you're, the range of compensation that you're kind of looking for, and also to give me the person of support that you're going to allow to work with me during this process. I don't need a full-time person, I just need, you know, some hours.
Is there any other comments or questions or concerns?
No, I would just suggest that we would, you know, no later than our regular board meeting next Tuesday, have this all in order and start moving forward, even if we have to meet in closed session earlier that day, if it meets, you know, everybody's schedules, or after the meeting that evening, and start getting these ironed out so we can move forward.
My only concern is I realize you wouldn't need secretarial or any kind of help, but I know our secretaries here at the district office are overwhelmed right now. I know Ms. Mejia is, I know Mr. Carrion's secretary is, and I know you're going to need it. We might even have to consider hiring somebody. I don't know that. That's because you brought up a very valid point, you know, and you are going to need someone. And I just wouldn't want to be the one to say, hey, you could not be doing this for now, you're going to be working with Mr. Teagarden for the next.
Well, I know
months.
A good number of the secretaries and administrative assistants at this school. I'd be happy to walk around and find one for you.
Yeah. That's why I brought it up. I don't know why I was thinking that, but I just don't want to. I'm sure there's secretaries around going, oh my God, now I'm going to have to do this too. You know, that's a lot to be asking anybody. Okay.
Well, and I do think, though, that that is a responsibility of ours. If we are going to move forward in the search process, then we have to be able to provide that assistance. Yeah. We can't expect Mr. Teagarden to do that. So.
I would.
If you decide to go with a professional person that's involved in these kinds of things, they probably would hire their own staff. They still have to have access to the people in the district, because that's, you guys have all the knowledge. But they would have their own staff, and it would, you'd be charged a fee for that, for those services. And that's why those fees are, I haven't heard of any less than $10,000 or more than $25,000, but somewhere between $10,000 and $15,000 is probably what you'd end up needing to invest in this process for a view over the professional version. And I'm not trying to discourage you from doing that, because there's a lot of benefits for you by doing that, but your board policies puts a lot of that responsibility back on you as a board of trustees. So they'd have more limits in some ways than what they might be comfortable with.
And once you say $15,000 to a lot of my constituents, they're going to say, that's taxpayer money. What are you doing? Why did we hire you to hire somebody else? Or why did we vote for you to hire somebody else? But I know what you're saying.
Mr. Teagarden, are there people that you would like to work with? Like maybe people you've worked with in the past that you'd like to hire?
With in the past are from the County Office of Education, so that probably wouldn't be appropriate in this case.
I would just say, Mr. Allison, we haven't even hired the man yet, so that might not be an appropriate But, you know, tonight is a discussion/action item, and as I mentioned earlier on, if the board is comfortable or wanting to have Mr. Teagarden help us with his search, then I would certainly entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we hire Mr. Teagarden to help us with the search.
And I will second that.
We have a motion by Mr. Boom, a second by Mr. Allison. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
A reluctant aye. Excuse me.
Pardon?
I'm aye.
Yes. Okay, six yes. So, Mr. Teagarden, thank you very much.
Thank you, okay. Sir.
Sound like we all got a little bit of work to get going on, huh?
We do. I'll try to help guide us through this process so that we can you end up with the person that you want, and I'm totally convinced it is the most important decision that you'll make during your term on the board. You know, I serve as the board president as well, and I know the responsibility that goes with that, and the desire to have your board, everybody to be heard, but to kind of try to come to a consensus so that you have, you speak with a single voice to your superintendent and to your staff and your community, and by doing that, they have confidence that you're making, that they know that you can disagree and know how to disagree without personalizing it and come to a consensus what's in the best interest of all of your students in the entire community, and I know that's your desire. Nobody runs for a public office like this without an agenda. And you, I think I know exactly what your agendas are, the same as mine. You just want to do the best you can to support your community and your children and to make the Marysville Unified School District as successful as you possibly can. And that's why, you know, I'm getting chills telling you that. I feel like I'm in church or something, but that's a noble purpose for serving the community and going through the process of two board meetings a month and all the committee meetings and all the visitations and all of the decisions that you have to make. It's for children, and it's for your staff, and it's for your community. And I applaud you and value that a lot.
And I would just like to say thank you for all you've done for our community over the years, Mr. Teagarden.
Well, thank you very much. My pleasure.
In closing, Mr. Crawford?
It's real sad. I have to give you the information, not information. We lost a member of the Blazer community, Lyndhurst High community, an icon when he was in school. He graduated in 1992. He was all-area football and track. I believe he was my last Division I scholarship winner. He died right before his 45th birthday. He leaves behind his high school sweetheart, two young sons and two young daughters. His name is Montrell Williams, and I love that young man to death, and I call him young man now, in memory, RIP. And I'd like to close the meeting in his memory, Montrell Williams. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford. And just one more reminder, each board member must see Lisa before you leave. Meeting adjourned.